Dale.
Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Week 5 is almost in the books, at least the Sunday portion is. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and Primo Hector Reyes is in the house.
What's up, y'all? You could almost call me Victor because I'm about to beat you, George, but but for today, I'll be just Hector.
Oh, man. Well, Ricky's got a late shift tonight, so we're going to be missing him tonight. So
he's in the ER. He's doing important things, so kudos to him.
Yes, fighting the fight for the people. Right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Make sure you're checking out our original content on our website at familiaffb.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, Familia, this is a big sigh. We're doing this show with a bit of a heavy heart as we lost a member of La Familia. Rest in peace, Prima Maria Marica Gutierrez. Marica, we're dedicating this show to you. She was 54. She's prima número dos in the whole line of 40 grandchildren, of which Hector and I are in the line. She was born in 1966, and she always liked to remind me when we were kids that she was older than me, so I had to listen to her.
Right, she was your elder. Gotta respect, man. Gotta respect.
Gotta respect the elders. She's survived by her two daughters. She was the daughter of Tia Nene, Aaron Irene, and sister to our primas, Nanny and Monica, and our primos, Nico and Raul. You guys know Nico from our last episode and a few episodes before. Marica, we love you so much. Say hello to your father, Tio Nico. Say hi to my sister and my sister Bibi, my pops, and say hi to abuelito and abuelita for us. You're where there's no pain. We love you, Prima.
Love you.
Oh, man. From kind of a heavy heart to kind of a total 180. Lakers win championship number 17.
Yes. Number 17. Feels so good. Boston Celtics can't throw that one out there anymore. Oh, we have the most championship. So you guys are, whatever. At least now we're tied. So, at least we can say that whenever we're talking to Boston fans, which is always nice to do.
And it was sweet. I got to tell you, I was a little worried about this one after the way they played on Friday.
No, for sure.
I thought maybe Anthony Davis might be a little, his heel might be a little compromised, but I mean, they just took it to him, and they basically, this game was over at halftime. So we were able to concentrate on football.
Maybe even before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Not so much multitasking. And congratulations, LeBron. You did what you said you were going to do. You were going to bring LA a championship. Muchas gracias on behalf of the city. And all the Laker fans, especially all the Latino Laker fans out there. Gracias, gracias, gracias. And Anthony Davis, thank you for coming. Welcome. You and LeBron, you guys are officially Lakers. Hopefully we see statues of you in front of Staples Center someday. That was beautiful.
Yeah, this is like first of many, right? I mean, there's always been the dynasties, the legacies of the great Lakers. You had Elgin Baylor, you had Jerry West, you had Kareem, and so many great Lakers, through the past. And you had Magic, you had Kareem, and then of course Kobe and Shaq. So this is just the next in line of a storied franchise. I can't wait for the future to just keep collecting these rings and throw it on Boston and say, we got more than you.
All we need is one more. I mean, honestly, I look at, I was looking at LeBron during this playoff run, and I was kind of thinking, where is he? Has he diminished? Where has he lost a step? He's going to be 36 in a couple months. And, I think of him 5 years ago, and I'm like, I don't think he's lost a thing. Hector, you watch basketball a lot more closely than I do.
The LeBron James, and it's funny. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game. He said something very, very pointed in his MVP speech, where he was saying, he made sure to pay respect to, Adam Silver, and to pay respect to the fans, and to pay respect to, the NBA Players Association. And then he said something like, you know, I respect, you know, I got respect for all them, you know, and now I'm just a little looking for a little bit of respect for me. You know, in other words, he's pointing out to all those reporters out there, all those talking heads out there that, you know, every year, you know, give the MVP votes to Giannis and to James Harden, you know, and LeBron's getting like one or two MVP votes a year. And the guys, and this is what he's doing. He's winning championships when those guys are just kind of fizzling out, you know, Giannis, I mean, Jesus, I mean, for that much talent, the guy just, you know, kind of withered, you know, against Miami, who nobody thought was going to do anything. So yeah, give respect to LeBron. The guy's a beast. And, you know, all you, you know, NBA writers out there, give him some MVP votes. The guy deserves it. It's bananas what he's continued to be able to do at his age. I mean, and in spite of his age.
Yeah. You know,
the guy's just doing crazy things. So I think that just kind of gives a little bit of it kind of highlights what's wrong with NBA MVP voting, where it's more of a popularity contest as opposed to what it used to be, which is who's just the best guy out there. You know, LeBron's clearly that guy, and they continue to disrespect him. So it was very, very pointed when he said that. You know, I'm sure you'll watch it, you know, if you see it on the highlights on, you know, on cable tonight, you know, watch all the highlight shows, SportsCenter, wherever you're watching. I'm sure they're going to show that. And he's like, hey, don't forget about me, because I'm still doing things.
I look at him and, you know, him not getting MVP, as many MVP votes. And it just reminds me of the latter part of the Jordan years, where they gave a championship to, I mean, an MVP to Charles Barkley, largely because they were sick. You know, the NBA writers were sick of voting for Jordan. And then I think in 98, they gave it to Karl Malone. Mm-hmm. Again, because they just and you looked at Jordan, and his numbers were very almost identical to his MVP years, and it's just like, you know, it's just like the shiny new thing, and LeBron just keeps chugging on.
And guy's just the man.
And I you know, one last shout out to AD for that heartfelt tribute to Kobe. They were teammates on the Olympics one year. And, you know, he talked about how Kobe just kind of mentored him and kind of helped him grow up. And now, you know, he helped dedicate the championship to Kobe. And, you know, in the year of his passing, you could really see AD get pretty choked up there. And it was kind of special
That was pretty cool. Definitely.
Know, thank you guys. And Kobe, you know, RIP to you too, you and Gigi. You know, it's special. Now Dodgers, you're on deck.
Exactly. Dodgers on deck. Let's go.
Hey, well, let's go get into some chisme.
Chisme.
Well, we got some games rescheduled. One of the Monday Night Football.
Mess, right?
but you know what? It's funny. You know, I almost got a little salty on Twitter this morning, but I just held myself in check because I heard some, you know, I saw some people putting on their, you know, cancel the season. It's like, what do you want? Do you want nothing to do on Sunday mornings? One team has had an outbreak. And it's like, no, there are 30 teams that have done great that have had no tests, no COVID
positive tests
come up. And you've had two or three come up positive for the Patriots. It's not really considered an outbreak, but they're the preponderance of caution. You know, the Titans have had an outbreak, but look, MLB, they had two bad outbreaks, and here they are. They're in the Final Four, and they're in the World Series. And so I think, you know what, we just weather the storm and keep playing and just, you know, roll with the punch. You know, as fantasy managers, we just roll with the punches, right? Yeah. Heck, do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to. You kind of have to roll with it. I mean, this is, you know, this is 2020. And, it, you know, by now, everyone has an understanding that this is the year, you know, that, you know, that, you know, we're almost tired of saying unprecedented. You know, it's everything now, you know, what's the old saying? If everything's an emergency, nothing's an emergency.
Well, true.
This year, if everything's unprecedented, then nothing is unprecedented. Like, this is normal now. Like, everyone just needs to get used to the idea that we're doing things completely different from other years. And it's almost strange when someone says, oh man, like how dare they do this? Like, no, everything, everything that we've seen with regards to, you know, traffic and with the going to the mall and with going to restaurants and with going to Dodger games and to sporting events, that's all completely flipped 180 degrees, completely different than what we've seen, what we're used to. So this should not be any different. So and not only this, but everything else going forward in our lives, we're going to see everything change and be crazy. So yeah, it's weird. Again, it's almost unprecedented. I mean, I'll say it this way. It's
unprecedented.
It's unprecedented for people to say that things are unprecedented, because get over it. At this point, we are all in the same boat. Get used to things being crazy and just roll with it.
Yeah, I'd much rather just have the crazy on Sunday mornings, and you know, what is the game's going to happen? Are games going to get moved? I'd rather have that than, you know, than the alternative than what we had for all those months from March to July, to the end of July with nothing. So no, right. Give me the football, give me the crazy, la locura. But so the locura is Pats and Broncos is now playing on next Sunday. It was going to be on Monday Night Football, so that game has been moved. The Bills Chiefs has been officially moved from this Thursday to next Monday, October 19th. And the game between the Bills and the Titans is still scheduled for Tuesday. The Titans did have a COVID positive test from a staff member, but apparently that staff member has not been around the facility for a couple weeks. Okay. So even though they shut down the facility, they're expecting to play. So there are other games that are being moved, too many to go through right now. You know, we'll just, you know, everybody, you know, familia, just, I put it on, I titled our last episode on Friday, Stay Fluid Friday. Just stay fluid every day. We're just gonna be ready. Let's do everything we can, you know, just be ready for football all the time. So
yep.
And hey, Hector, I think you were the one who called it like the after school movie special, you know, Alex Smith getting back into a game. I thought of you, man, when I saw him go in the game.
Woohoo! Alex Smith, the return of Alex Smith. Let's go. It's gonna be a Hallmark movie. Perfect.
I will say, every time, there was one time where he just got crunched by Aaron Donald, where I just was like cringing, and he just popped up like normal, like it was a normal hit.
What do you think that conversation was like? Aaron Donald pops him, and it's like, hey man, you good? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think so.
Are you okay, man?
helping him up.
Exactly. Like, you know, like you don't know the conversation that happened in the pile, but I can only imagine, like, you know, you knock the guy over and it's like, hey, you okay? Like, I didn't mess you up again. Did, you know, you good, right? You know, so.
And they showed that, they kept showing the pictures of his family. I mean, they cut away to his family, and I could see his wife just kind of like, you know, excited, but just almost like, oh, please don't hit him. Please don't hit him.
I'm sure she was, you know, watching with bated breath, for sure.
She lived everything with him. So God love him. God bless. And, you know, we'll be referring back to this in a couple minutes. But first off, Falcons fired head coach Dan Quinn and the GM Thomas Dimitroff. They're going to be starting over. It's kind of, I mean, but that's what happens when you're on 5 in this league. And they basically needed a miracle finish last year to finish the season.
I mean, it's the defense. I mean, you know, they're offense. They have a high flying offense. You know, they have the ability to score a lot of points. I mean, I think Dan Quinn, you know, this falls more on the GM than it does on Dan Quinn. Cause I mean, Dan Quinn did lead the Falcons to the Super Bowl. And if the Falcons had even a medium rare defense, you know, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. They might have, you know, at least one or two wins, and, you know, they may still be watching to see what happens. But the fact that their defense is just, you know, like a sieve, or a, you know, it's just, you know, things go right through it, a strainer, you know, like a strainer, you know, just like everything goes right by them and right through them. So that's not going to work in this league, like you said. And unfortunately, both of them are the fall guys, and, you know, that's how it goes.
So think about this. Imagine if they held any part of that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Do you think he gets fired today?
No, because he's Super Bowl champion head coach Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
You know, they give him the benefit of the doubt because, hey, he won us a ring. He brought a championship to Atlanta. Let's give him a shot. But that didn't happen. So here we are.
crazy.
Yeah, man.
Real quick, Michael Thomas got ruled out for Monday Night Football, not for his ankle injury, but for a fight with a teammate.
How do you do that? And that's just, and obviously that's frustration. And again, unprecedented. the top wide receiver in the entire NFL is suspended because he, you know, it is NFL with these grown men. He probably threw a punch.
He
probably landed it, you know, so that's not going to work. You know, you can't do that. You got to be professional about these things. Yeah, you're frustrated, Michael Thomas. Yeah, you've been out with an injury, Michael Thomas. Yes, you're the greatest, you know, in the NFL. You're the top wide receiver, Michael Thomas. Your team needs you, Michael Thomas. What are you doing? Punching your teammate and getting into a fight so that you make, that gets you, because that sets a precedent. You know, you're as a head coach, your hands are tied. You know, you can't let Michael Thomas get away with that, because the next guy that does it is going to say, hey, you let him get away with it. What about me? And that just causes a problem. You lose all credibility. So that had to happen, and it's unfortunate. But hey, you know what? You make your bed. You know, sometimes you got to lie in it.
And you know what? And there's a certain thing when you're one of the studs on the team. There's a certain leadership role that you have to live up to.
Yes.
And that's just not living up to
it. Can't do it. You can't do that.
And they're on a bye next week. So really, Think about the teams that drafted him like fourth overall, and here he is. It's going to be week 7 before you really get him. And who knows if he's going to be all the way right. Remember Saquon Barkley last year. He was, he was definitely banged up. He was not right until, you know, for several weeks after he came back. So
yeah,
vamos a ver. Well, the last one in the Chismes section, let's get a little more personal, between the primos, Hector versus Georgie. I'm up by like half a point, but
Keenan Allen. I believe I will be defeating you, George, tomorrow. I'm up by I think 0.5 or 0.6, and I have Keenan Allen going, which he should get his share of maybe 12, 13, 14 targets tomorrow. And as long as he gets like 5 or 6 yards, I beat you. So I'm lighting my veladora that there's no, you know, Deontay Johnson type injury where he loses 2 yards and has to leave the game. So fingers crossed. Generally, Keenan Allen's a pretty tough guy. So I'm leaning towards a pretty clean victory tomorrow.
2 weeks ago, I'm 2-1 and in first place with the most points. And now, today I was in eighth place, and who knows where I'm going to be after this.
And you're going to be 2-3.
Esto duele.
As they say on the golf course, there's a lot of golf left. So.
There is. Okay, I wish I had
a long way to go.
I wish I'd grabbed Chase Claypool in our Familia League, like I did in a couple other leagues, but. We'll see. Hey, let's get into, we talked about Alex Smith, but first off, it's time for I section. Dak Prescott, compound fracture and dislocation of his ankle. He underwent surgery tonight. I mean, it was just gruesome. I could only watch it once.
The crazier part, I don't know if you've, made your rounds around social media. And I don't know if, Tony Romo, they're talking about, he's trending. They're talking about Tony Romo. Apparently, I don't know if he was in the restroom when it happened or, taking a break somewhere else when it happened. He made a comment of something to the effect of, I hope that's just a cramp. When Dak was down, it's like, did you not watch?
No, he came up. I remember watching that. He came up and you could see that there was the angle where you couldn't see his leg was, where the bone was sticking out. And then it was just like, you could see that once they did the extra, the different shot, and it was just like, you could hear the ooh. And you just knew. It's heartbreaking. I mean, for the guy, he's such a great leader, and he was so, during the off season, he was so candid and raw, talking about how depression had impacted him. And he was having such a fantastic season. So
Does this put Andy Dalton on the waiver?
I think so. I totally think so, especially in two quarterback leagues.
Right, for sure.
I mean, you know, anybody who lost Dak Prescott is going to be going after Andy Dalton. I mean, he had made Dalton made two beautiful throws to Michael Gallup, where Michael Gallup made baller catches. But I did see a pic. They did show a picture during the Sunday night telecast for Dak where he was smiling for the camera. So good for him.
That's a good sign.
He's such a positive force. Everything you hear about him is that he's just 100% a great person. So, wishing him everything best and just look at the, Alex Smith example and hope for a speedy recovery.
Yeah. These days, I mean, the technology and the surgeons that are out there, just, there's some A-class medicine being practiced out there. So hopefully he gets a top dog to perform that surgery and get him back on his feet sooner than later.
No, it'd be all right, man. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's by next season.
For sure.
We'll be listening to some injury experts and see what the timeline is going to be for that. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook, groin injury. You saw it, late in the first half. I mean, I'm sorry, early in the second half. I mean, he came back briefly, but it looked like it was just a decoy and it just, not good. Not good for Dalvin Cook.
These first rounders are going out, man. That's going on.
That's crazy. I don't even know. It's
Saquon, now Dalvin Cook, Michael Thomas was out and
CMC.
DMC. We're gonna keep our fingers crossed that's it for the first round, man. I don't want any more first rounders going out.
No more. I mean, Julio Jones was tail end of the first round. I mean, he was inactive today with a hamstring injury, and I mean, their bye isn't for a few weeks, but that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Deontay Johnson hurt his back early in the game. This is the second time he came out after getting hurt on one of the first plays that he was in. Did not return. Como eso duele.
Yeah, man.
Baker Mayfield getting x-rays on his ribs as a precaution. So, even though he had a pretty good game, and we'll be talking about him in a minute, that one's something to keep an eye on. Ponlo en la mira. DJ Chark left the game with an ankle injury. We had, I had him in the Adios Mio section, and this was largely the reason why he never came back. AJ Green injured the hamstring early in the game, got a big donut.
Yeah, I'd say that could be seeing the last of AJ Green. That may be that just might be the end of it for him. I don't know. I don't see him coming. I mean, especially not on the on the Bengals, that squad at least. I mean, I see, we got Boyd over there, we got T. Higgins, the receiving core there is. See, I don't know if I see a spot even for AJ Green going forward, even if he comes back. It just seems like he's just been kind of phased out of that offense.
Yeah, I think so. That one's I mean, yeah, that's the tough part. If you're pro sports is the ultimate meritocracy. If you're not performing, they just
have you done for me lately. That's it.
Yeah. Sammy Watkins also came out with a hamstring injury, never returned to the game. So
yeah, Ricky called this one. Prognostication. Ricky was like, yeah, man, he's gonna have a good first game, and then like the rest of the season, like, he's done. And Rick called it, like, exactly.
Sometimes I think Ricky's a brujo, right?
He knows things.
Though you know what, I think he also called that Tua was going to come into the game, and I looked and he didn't come into the game today, even though they were up by a lot. So
interesting.
Not quite, that was the perfect setup to get him a few plays there at the end.
Some reps. Yeah.
Kyle Allen, arm injury at the end of the second quarter, which opened up the door for Alex Smith to come back into the game. So something to keep an eye on there. Or maybe Dwayne Haskins comes back in the game. Vamos a ver. Jimmy G taken out at halftime. Apparently, I mean, I only got to see a couple of highlights of this game. I was watching the Dallas game, and he didn't look right. He looked tentative out there. And I think maybe his ankle is not as 100%. Not close to 100%.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. I mean, we see that a lot with quarterbacks. Whenever they have, injuries like that, they come out and they hear footsteps. They get tentative. They get real anxious, in the pocket. So if his ankle's not quite right yet, he needs to sit out until it's completely back, so that he can be confident in the pocket. Because as long as he's back there feeling the sore, feeling the ankle, and hoping, oh my God, if I get hit, I'm done. If I get hit, I'm done. You can't play like that. And that may be part of it. And that was the end of him at halftime.
That's, man. Well, time to get into
Ay, mijo.
It's the we're calling that we're going to start calling this Los Chingones
That's
section.
That's it, man. These are the chingones of the day.
Oh man, well, just in no particular order, Kyler Murray, you know, went off for 380 yards and a touchdown. You know, he also ran one in. Teddy Bridgewater, 313 yards and two touchdowns. He was my streamer of the week. I felt very smart for that.
Boom.
You know, I actually played him on one of my leagues, so that was good. Yeah. You know, Big Ben, 239 yards, three touchdowns. We'll be talking about who got those three touchdowns in a second. well, we already mentioned it. We already teased it a little bit. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, 359 yards, three touchdowns. That was a week later for my prediction. I did predict last week that that was guy. I bet Ricky on that one last
week. Yeah, you just missed it by a week.
Oh, man. Well, Gardner Minshew helped you, Hector.
Minshew mania, baby. Finally, 301 yards, two TDs. And in our league, I don't know if anyone else has it, we get the five-point bonus for passers going over 300 yards. And playing against George, this feels even better because I get that five-point bonus by one passing yards. So I feel good.
If Keenan Allen has like 4 points tomorrow, I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna want to vomitar. I swear this is no es bueno, no es bueno. Derek Carr had himself a day. 347 yards, three touchdowns. I mean,
and the victory.
His first one ever at Arrowhead.
Good for him.
First one ever. And you know what? The cool thing was he took some deep shots there, and he must have been saying that, oh, that was for all you people who say I'm just dumping off to people. So
yeah. Hey, I said it in our preseason, you know, podcast. I watch out for Derek Carr this year. I think this might be the year. So, I mean, yes, it is one game and it is a victory over the Chiefs. You know, let's see if he can keep it going.
No, that's a huge win. And you know, and that's with Patrick. That's going toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Mahomes got 340 yards, two touchdown passes, and then he ran another one in. So
that game. But man, looking at these numbers, gosh, that I missed the game. But Jesus, that must have been a really fun game to watch.
Oh, I was between that one. I had that game on and the Ram game on. And I had the Ram game on my computer. And so I'm just kind of like, and two very different games. In fact, the Ram game almost finished like 40 minutes before the Raider game, just because of the fact that they were throwing so much. But but speaking of the Rams, Jared Goff, 309 yards, two touchdowns, two touchdown passes, and one touchdown rushing, and the weirdest spike ever, because they were playing in almost a monsoon there, and he tried to spike the ball, and the ball slipped out of his hand. So that was
like an air ball spike.
That was a good one.
Awesome. I gotta look that up. That sounds hilarious.
Oh, Fitz Magic. In what probably the upset of the day, you know, beating up with Miami going down to San Francisco and just beating them up. I think Ricky said that he thought this was a trap. This could be a trap game for the 49ers.
Yes, he did. He specifically said that this could happen, and he called it. He
Brujo. Yeah,
but you know what, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know, man. It almost feels like the guy just doesn't get any respect. You know, he's just, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know, he's just, he's good. The guy's good. I mean, we watched him on Monday Night Football, you know, a couple weeks back, you know, when they went up against Gardner Minshew and the Jags, and the guy is accurate. His QB rate has got to be way, way, way high. Cause I mean, the guy, he does not throw many incomplete balls. You know, today he went for 350, three TDs, zero picks. I mean, how efficient can you be? I mean, that's – and he's playing at Miami. He doesn't – I mean, yes, he has a couple of receivers, but nothing, you know, nothing spectacular. But the guy, he just gets it done, and this is really impressive. For the weapons that he has, he is doing things. So kudos to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield – The not a spectacular game, 247 yards, two touchdowns. He did have two picks, but you know, the Browns are now 4-1.
I was poo-pooing on them all preseason, so I don't know, man. Coaching change must be the X factor, because they're the same players. They're just doing everything way different than they did last year with Freddie Kitchens in charge. So obviously things are definitely being done differently.
they redid their offensive line, and that's really helping.
Oh, the line, is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell. And they're definitely, you know, they're in that Kyle Shanahan, which is actually the Mike Shanahan system back 20 some years ago with Terrell Davis. You just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
Open up a lot of play action. Man, back in the days,
A lot of play action. Russell Wilson. I mean, God, you're running. We're running out of adjectives. We got to start talking Spanish. Just to, you know, they're down 13-0 at halftime in the rain, and he comes back and he takes them to a 27-26
to my man DK Metcalf in the end zone for the second touchdown of the day.
That was fantastic, and he also had a fourth down catch on that same drive.
Yeah, he did. He for 39 yards, I think it was.
Something like that. But it was fourth and 10. That means the guy's Russell Wilson, just phenomenal. And you know what? And that was with Kirk Cousins, you know, showing up on prime time for 249 yards and two touchdowns, and a pick. We've been blessed with some fantastic Sunday night games. Wonderful. I mean, it was just a nail biter. We're just coming.
That was great. Yeah, I caught the end of it. I was hanging out with Dominic and doing things, but I was watching, of course, the Lakers. So I caught the. Caught the end of that Seattle game, and wow, that was just, you know, watching it go down to the wire was pretty fun to watch.
Unbelievable. Well, the running backs were the chingon running backs. Mike Davis, I think he was the most chingon of the day. I mean, 149 total yards, 9 receptions in there, and a touchdown. I mean, he's just like he is
CMC 2.0, right? Yeah. Is it CMC this good, or is it just the offense that's this good? Because man, this guy's. Do they need CMC back? I mean, geez, he filled in very nicely. He's doing CMC type things without being CMC.
It's reminding me of those times where Le'Veon Bell would go out of this game. He would go out for several games earlier in his career when he was in Pittsburgh, and D'Angelo Williams would come in.
I remember that.
And it's like they never just lost anything. Nicely.
Yeah, just like a puzzle piece, is, you know, plug and play.
Unreal. And then. And when James Conner took over 2 years ago, they didn't miss anything. So just this is just – he's playing so well, and I think it's just making it – you know, they're making him making it easy for them to just, you know, be able to just let him get completely right. And they're 3-2. They're halfway to getting the over, and it's just 5 games into the season.
I know. I called it out. I didn't get a chance to bet it, but I called it. They will go over the 5.5 wins.
Well, Alexander Mattison got 112 yards rushing, you know, in relief of Dalvin Cook, who had 65 all in the first half. Yep. Zeke,
that was a super handcuff. Everyone knew that was a super handcuff to have. If you're going to pick up any handcuffs on your roster, Mattison was, you know, one of the top handcuffs to own. And here we go. We're starting to see his value.
And if he's not on the waiver wire, you know, if he's out on the waiver wire, you're grabbing him this
week. He's probably not available. I think it was pretty common knowledge, you know, as far as handcuffs go. You got to pick up Mattison. You got to pick up Latavius Murray. Like, certain guys were like the hot ticket as far as handcuffs, and Mattison was probably top of the list.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, 19 carries, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also added a reception for 14 yards. Kareem Hunt, you know, not quite the handcuff, because people were drafting him as like an RB3 or flex.
And a lot of people, you know, still thought that he was, you know, he was more talented than Chubb, you know, to some degree. So, I mean, the guy was a stud at KC. So he, you know, yeah, the only reason that he switched teams again was because all that drama and the suspension and such and whatnot. So. And other than that, he would still be on the Chiefs, you know, doing things. So the guy's talented. And yeah, to your point, not necessarily a handcuff, just maybe, you know, Chubb being running back A to Hunt's running back B, but still very talented. And yeah, he's doing his thing. Great, great day today.
Yeah, 93 total yards and a touchdown. Kenyon Drake got his first touchdown of the season.
And I benched him.
And you benched him, but the guy you benched him for, Chase Edmonds.
Also had a touchdown, so I'll take it. the other Chase, not Chase Claypool, but Chase Edmonds had a good game, so I'll take it.
unbelievable. Miles Sanders, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also caught another couple balls for 19. David Johnson, you know, you just play him against bad defenses, and that And that was a big game for the Texans today. A big win, their first win of the season. He had 96 yards. You know, only caught two balls for 7 yards. Josh Jacobs, he was a big reason why the Raiders just kind of salted that winning away. 23 carries, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nice. Caught another couple balls for 8. Now, not a big, you know, other than Mike Davis, not a big day for running backs, you know, getting a lot of receiver points. You know, Todd Gurley though had you know, went back in the way back machine, 121 yards, 1 touchdown, had an additional 29 yards receiving. And that's gotta be his first 100-yard game since 2018. That's
amazing. Yeah. He had a real nice, that touchdown run was a real nice run. That was very nice. That was a good, kudos to Todd Gurley, yeah, turning back the clock.
And Raheem Mostert came back. It looked like he didn't miss a beat. 90 rushing yards, added another 29 yards receiving. So a big chingon day for him, man. And let's go to the receivers, and nobody did more than Chase Claypool.
You started him, and you said you started him in two leagues, right?
I did.
You're the Bruco, man. What's up with that?
I should be, you know, I've been keeping an eye on him because one of the leagues, I grabbed him with my last pick, and I looked at him, and I was, and you know, he's had a couple of really big plays, and I thought, man, you know, and on one of the leagues, I just kind of like, I was going up against the first place team that was unbeaten. I thought, okay, I got a no risk it, no biscuit. I'm just going for
That's
it.
Right.
I sat somebody else, you know, who had an okay. Well, I sat Ruggs, who had a good game, but you know, this guy,
not a Claypool type game.
Not a Claypool type of game. So 110 yards, 3 touchdowns, added a 4th touchdown rushing. This guy's
crazy.
This guy, you're using your waiver priority on him. Isn't it crazy how the rookie receivers are showing out so early in the season?
That's good. I mean, I love this only because it seems like, you know, you have like, you know, positional players that come in chunks. You know, you have, you know, certain years, you have like, oh, you remember that draft year where it was so good, we had so many running backs, or that draft year, we had so many receivers. This seems to be that year where we got, you know, we got CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, we got Chase Claypool, these guys that are just like coming up, just like, this is, I think we're going to look back on this year as being like, you know what, this is the year where, like, you know, if years from now, you know, some of these guys are going to be first rounders, like, you know, oh man, you got to get CeeDee, you got to pick up CeeDee Lamb, or you got to pick up, you know, Claypool or T. Higgins, like those are going to be like first round wide receivers somewhere down the road. I think some of these guys are going to shine. And I think we're going to look back on this year as that year where there were those stud wide receivers that came out of last year's draft.
So like DK Metcalf being one of the stud receivers from the 2019 draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
6 receptions, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns, including the game winner. Just stud. I mean, he's almost like the blueprint for Claypool. They're both big guys.
Yeah, you know, he's like 6'4", Megatron. 6'5". He reminds me of Megatron. Big dude. Well, yes. He's emerging as the favorite target of Russell Wilson. If you watched the end of that game, which most of us did, if you're a football fan, there was nothing else. The Laker game was already over, you know, and that game was, I think he threw to Metcalf like out of the last 5 pass plays, he threw to Metcalf 4 out of those 5 times. And it's just like, I was like, wow, like this is pretty clear. Like we're going down to the clutch. Russell Wilson wants to win this game, and he's just lasering balls to Metcalf left and right, and Metcalf rewards him with the game winner. So I think today cemented, you know, if there was ever a passing of the torch, I mean, today seemed like it to me, at least, that you know when the game is on the line, Metcalf's going to be the guy going forward.
There's, I mean, Lockett's still a stud. I think you should.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, not taking anything away from Lockett, but just. I mean, like I said, like at the end of that game, like you could just tell, like Russell Wilson was looking specifically for Metcalf.
Yep.
You know, it was pretty cool to watch because I have him.
Well, he's such a mismatch. I mean, there's no
for everyone. He's just huge. He's Megatron. He's like another Megatron.
There's no big one. Well, Adam Thielen also had himself a game, 9 receptions, 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins, D Hop, he's back, you know.
Yeah, baby.
6 receptions on 7 targets, 131 yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb. You know, even with the quarterback change, still balled out. 88 receptions on 11 targets, 124 yards. Hollywood Brown got 6 receptions, 77 yards, and he got a touchdown. That was a beautiful throw. Jamison Crowder. There's nothing else to see in the Jets except for him. You know, 8 receptions, yep. 116 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. Okay, Hector. This morning when you woke up, if I would have told you someone named Travis Fulgham would catch 10 passes for 152 yards and a touchdown, what would you have said?
I would have said, like, is this like European league, like Canadian football? what are we talking about here?
They're playing a college football game on Sunday.
What are we doing here?
This guy did that for the Eagles today. Cause
wow.
they are next man up times 100. It seems
Have you read up on this guy? Like, where'd he come from? I mean, where was he drafted? Like, what's his deal?
I'm going to look him up.
We got to do some hashtag research on this guy.
I got to do some research because I got to put him in the waiver wire column because he's catching passes for them, someone's got to do it.
I mean, not only catching passes, 13 targets. Obviously, this guy, you know, this guy is going to have some value going forward. Anyone who gets 13 targets, scoop him up because especially PPR for sure. This guy's going to have some serious value going forward.
And just to prove that you're planning for the week ahead, not the week behind, the week behind, you got to forget the week behind. Brandon Cooks, 8 receptions on 12 targets, 161 yards.
Didn't he have 0 last week?
He got a big donut.
Big donut, like Krispy Kreme last week.
0. And actually, you know what? On the league where I started Claypool at the last second, I had to start Cooks because I had no one else.
Aren't those the best? The funny part is that you don't have to tell anyone that you do that. You know what I'm saying? Like people just look at your score like, damn, and then you can just totally play it off like, yeah, you know, I just had a gut feeling. You know, I just knew. You know, I have some insider information. I had to start. You know, I started Claypool, and you know, my plan the whole week was to start Claypool and Cooks. See, that's what I wanted to do. And you know, hey, what you know that you got, look out, watch out for me. You need to be afraid of me.
I did want to start Cooks because I like the matchup. It was good with Jacksonville and it was there. So, it was one where I needed it. That's like, you know, you pull a straight on the river card, you know,
exactly.
A full house, something like that.
I meant to do that.
Exactly. Well, Henry Ruggs, welcome back to the league. 118 yards and a touchdown, including a 72 yard bomb. That was fantastic. Robbie Anderson got himself 8 receptions, 112 yards. He's the man. DJ Moore, welcome back. First touchdown.
Welcome back, DJ Moore, man. I benched him. I mean, you know, lucky for me, I'll squeeze out a victory benching DJ Moore. But DJ Moore deserved to be benched. I mean, we're in week
this
five.
Week, not against Atlanta.
I benched him. They played against the Jets. And he threw up a nothing, right? He did a nothing. Yeah. So I was like, okay, something wrong here. You know, so I'm gonna bench you, DJ Moore, you know, just in case something's wrong. And I was thinking Robbie Anderson is emerging, which he did, of course, 13 targets to DJ Moore's 5. So obviously Robbie Anderson has developed some rapport there with Teddy Bridgewater, and he's emerging as the top gun there. But you know, yeah, DJ Moore did collect his 93 yards and a score. So, but yeah, just because he scored this week, I'm still very hesitant because I don't like that line, 5 targets versus Robbie Anderson's 13 targets. So I don't even know if I'll start him again next week, but we'll have to wait and see. What happens over there with Deontay Johnson on the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I will start DJ Moore. But we'll see how it goes.
You and I may be talking trade then if you're planning to sit here. Calvin Ridley, 8 catches on 10 targets for 136 yards. So he's back. He's back. Preston Williams had himself a day, 4 catches, 106 yards and a touchdown. So that was a part of that big blowout by the Dolphins. So, him and Fitzmagic had some magic going on.
Yeah, man.
Darius Slayton had himself a nice game. And you know what? That's the thing. I think that's going to have to be the formula. You got to play Darius Slayton when the Giants have a good matchup, and they're going to have some good matchups coming up again, you know, another matchup against Dallas. They're going to have matchups against Philly. They're going to have matchups against the Washington secondary. I didn't say it that time.
Good. Yeah. You know what? Kudos to you, man. I think that, you know, let the record show, Your Honor. This is the first incidents of Georgie mentioning the Washington football team and not mentioning their previous name. And correctly stating that they are the Washington football team. So kudos to you, man.
And not having to fix it on the editing.
not having to go to the editing room and fixing it.
Well, let's look at the tight ends on the Chingon section. Travis Kelce, 8 catches, 12 targets, 108 yards and a touchdown. It's just like, and the sun rises. Those are the things that those
exactly.
are.
Exactly. The sky is blue.
Yeah. You know,
all the
grass
all those,
is green.
All those things. Exactly. The grass is green. And Travis Kelce scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Your boy Mark Andrews balled out 56 yards.
Yeah, baby.
Yards
and I'll a take touchdown. It. I'll take it.
Gerald Everett got himself 90 yards on 4 receptions, kind of pushing Higby to the side. Mike Gesicki went out there in a tough matchup against San Francisco and caught 5 of 6 targets for 91 yards. So
if I was him, like on the back of my jersey, I would like put a space like the Geh and then like a space and then sick and then a space and then the I and just like right in the middle just says like sick. That's what I would do. Man, the guy's sick. I mean, he's just the catch that he makes are just bananas. The guy's got like he's got glue on his hands, like stick 'em. You know, going back to the '70s. Like, the guy's like super talented. He's so much fun to watch. So good job today, Mike Gesicki.
Oh well, let's get an ay Dios mío.
Oh no.
Well, Joe Burrow, and I got to say, in the entry of what I called this one, Joe Burrow was going to have a tough game, having to go to Baltimore and, you know, 183 yards, 0 touchdowns and a pick. The Baltimore defense was just all over him. 7 sacks.
That wasn't you that started him in our league, right?
No, I didn't start
Baltimore defense.
No.
They scored like 35 points or like something stupid.
Yep. And they had more until the Bengals got a late, nothing field goal.
That was Ricky. Ricky, damn you, Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
He started Baltimore defense 33 in a Yahoo league. Baltimore defense scored 33.8 points. What the? What? That doesn't bode well for the Cincinnati Bengals offense.
Well, the thing is, you just got to watch out for Burrow on days when they're going up against a good
elite
defenses, especially a good pass rush, because his offensive line, they really got. I really hope that he comes out of this season healthy, and then that in the next draft they just invest heavily in the offensive line, because they really need this.
Yeah,
Mateo.
The more I think of it, the more I'm. Beginning to realize that, you know, when CMC comes back, I think we're all in trouble, George. Not only does he have all these players, but he also has Baltimore's defense. So.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know, man.
I know. You may be repeating.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but
we'll give it our
shot, because we've seen it.
I don't want him to win. We'll definitely try to beat him, but Jesus.
Well, we've seen super teams lose in the playoffs before.
Yes, we have. throw up a turd game when you score like 60 points. It can happen.
Yeah. Well, Mateo Yello, Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, 226 yards. And this is continuing a trend where when Julio Jones is out, he does not play well. So
yeah, we saw the same thing with Gardner Minshew when DJ Chark was out against Miami. He threw up a dud. And then the next week when Chark came back, he had a great game. And he had a great game again today. I mean, did Chark go out later in the game? I would imagine he did, right?
Yeah, it was in the first half. So,
first half, okay. So I mean, kudos to Minshew then, because that means after Chark went out, he still had a good game. So that bodes well for Jacksonville offense.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, 222 yards in a setup where this should have been a game that he smashed like last year. But
yeah, I mean, Dallas defense. We've talked about it on other other shows that. Even Troy Aikman was saying that the Dallas defense is embarrassing, like just, you know, at a just, you know, historically bad level. And to go for 222 and no scores doesn't bode well for Daniel Jones going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So
yeah,
let's
get in the running backs. Joe Mixon, 59 yards after his blow up game. I mean, he did finish with 94 total yards. He did
catch.
Not
bad.
Against
after Baltimore. What Baltimore's defense did, for him to come out with, you know, close to 100 yards is actually pretty good. You know, I would say that's, you know, a little bit of a borderline adios mio, because that's after looking at Joe Burrow's line, you know, and then seeing Joe Mixon's line, it's you can almost call it a success, even being anywhere near 100 yards total.
No, it's well, CEH got 80 yards total, but you know, it's you know, there's people are starting to question, you know, should he have been, and I'm still thinking he should have been a first round pick because he's going to do well. He's gonna just stay healthy. You still want this guy as your
that offense
there.
Is super high power. You know, they're gonna run into rough games. You know, they're gonna run into weird. You know, going up against the Raiders. You know, when it's a shootout. You know, it's a close game. Game script is gonna change. Generally speaking, you know, the Chiefs are gonna be winning. So yeah, the game script is gonna lean towards, you know, running. You know, the second half of the game, fourth quarter of the game. So he's going to get a lot of yards, you know, in the regular flow of the offense, and he's going to get a lot of yards toward the end of games where they're ahead. So, yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, he absolutely deserves to be there. And yeah, 80 yards is still 8 points. It's not terrible, you know. He's helping me to victory, so I'll take it in a game where, you know, he got 8 points for me in a game where the Chiefs magically lost. I don't see that happening again for the rest of the season. And when that happens, I think game script will be in his favor again. He'll score some more points.
Definitely. And well, the Ram backfield is going to be, you know, we got Cam Akers back, and you know, more questions. Mm-hmm. This is like the Baltimore backfield. This is like the, you know, the San Francisco backfield, you know, before Mostert got hurt, and he was definitely more of the dominant runner today. But yeah, I don't know what to make of this one.
That's a headache.
Big
the load of the cars. Grab the Excedrin there.
Yeah, Jerick McKinnon had one of the tougher lines of the day, you know, and part of this was the game script. I mean, one carry for 0 yards and two catches for 5 yards when that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what that looks like on your fantasy stat line, a 0.5.
Yeah, that's
that's ugly. that's an ugly stat point total there for your player. Eesh, that didn't go out with an injury. Usually you see a guy with like 0 point whatever, and oh, he got hurt and had to leave the game. But Jerick McKinnon played, and he threw up half a point. So yeah, that's tough.
No bueno. Well, on the receivers, Juju, 28 yards receiving. That's a tough one. Claypool definitely stole a lot of stuff. Maybe he took some of the coverage away from
Juju. Yeah, Juju's getting double teamed because the guy's a stud. So yeah, he's leaving Claypool open, single coverage, and that's what happens.
Though he apparently had the better wide receiver cornerback matchup, but that Claypool was not listed in that matchup. So vamos a ver. That's Claypool is maybe an emerging star. I think he might be this year's DK Metcalf. DJ Chark, before he got hurt, he got 16 receiving yards. Terry McLaurin's Scary Terry. I mean, they were playing in a monsoon pretty much, but you know, by middle of that game.
Gorilla monsoon?
Yeah, 26 yards.
Wrestling reference. Insert wrestling reference here.
Oh my god, that was a good one. That was a good one. But yeah, 26 yards. Amari Cooper, 23 yards on a day that the Cowboys got 37 points. But I mean, you know, after he's been so great, you know, he's due a clunker. That's fine. You chalk that one up.
Hey, it happens. It's going to happen. So, you know, is what it is.
You know, and Tyler Higbee, after, you know, after that game against Philadelphia where we got the 3 touchdowns, he has been really quiet. It seems like that, you know, one of the writers pointed out that he's been staying in to block more. And that's really what's happening. I mean, he got 2 catches for 12 yards. George Kittle, after his blow-up week last week, 4 catches for 44 yards. Evan Ingram got 1 catch for 16 yards, though he got robbed of a touchdown where they called a penalty on the offensive line for the player like set up in the neutral zone or something like that. And it looked really iffy call on that one. That one could have gone either way. Yeah. Another one, Dalton Schultz, not, you know, 1 catch for 6 yards after it looked like he was going to be a guy. So
yeah.
No way.
Tight ends are tough, man. Starting a tight end in fantasy is kind of an X factor, man. Cause you know, the ceilings can be high, but it's just, it's, it's just a, there's such a variable there. You never know. You gotta really dig deep and look at matchups and look at how defenses play and look at how tight ends have historically done against a defense. Some of them are automatics, you know, like Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, those are your automatics in the NFL. But if you're looking to start other guys, even Kittle, I mean, today, 44 yards total, you know, that's just overall, it's a good idea to check matchups, because if you're going up against a defense that historically does well, you know, shutting down tight ends, you know, even if you have a stud, you may want to reconsider.
Well, for him, everything pointed to starting him because it was the giant defense is not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So even weirder.
You just never know. Even when you do the smart, it's like when you double down on 11 and you get a 2, or you get an ace, and you're just like, well, you did the right thing, and
that's what you're supposed to do, and it didn't work out.
There went $100. So early look at waivers. Keep an eye out for our waiver wire column. Obviously, Claypool is going to be the number one guy on the waiver wire to be grabbing, Also, I think we talked about Madison. Touched on Madison as a guy to be on the lookout.
Scoop him up quick.
Yeah, and Travis Fulgham, otro. But there'll be more guys to keep an eye on. Hey, let's take a look and see at our bet results.
Eek.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Nico, he did have the Tampa Bay was a loss, but no, he had Cleveland +1.5. That's a win. Arizona -7. That's a win. Houston -6. That's a win. And he's got the Chargers +7.5 tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. So we'll see how that one comes out.
I lost that. I didn't hit my KC bet, right?
You didn't hit the KC bet, but you did hit Arizona. You did hit Pittsburgh. You did hit the Giants. And I mean, you missed Seattle, but
right.
You know, that's still, you know, three. Hey, if you go 60% a whole season, you're going to make money.
There you go. At 3-2, I'll take it.
Oh, man. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe at Apple. Leave us a review there. Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. Our original content at FamiliaFFB.com, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Well, gracias, everybody. Remember, get out and vote. Please vote. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos. Salud.
Salud, and descansa en paz, prima, marica. Descansa en paz.